Chihuahua, Mexico, 1994.
So what do you say, Tejano?
The woman known as the Red Widow stood across the Chihuahua train depot from Jim Strong.
Can we call a truce?
I don't have any bone to pick with you, Senora.
I was speaking of the history between Mexico and the Texas Rangers.
Last time I checked, ma'am, that history don't include you and me. We got no history between us whatsoever. Ain't that right, D.W.?
Jim looked toward Tepper.
Not directly, anyway.
The Red Widow's slight smile let Jim know they'd crossed paths in the past, at least peripherally.
Well, if it turns out I killed any of yours, I hope you won't take it personally.
Likewise, Tejano.
I believe you have me confused with someone else, ma'am.
And why would you believe that?
Because the term Tejano refers to a Texan who's a Mexican-American. That's not me.
The term was also used to denote residents of your state who were descended from the original Spanish-speaking settlers, the true founders of Texas. It implies respect and honor, even if it's not technically accurate. A colloquialism.
Then I'll accept it in that spirit exactly, providing you have your men there lower those Thompsons.
Delgado waved a hand to signal them to do just that.
Magnificent weapons, aren't they? Formidable and historic at the same time.
I never shot one myself, ma'am. Neither has my partner here. But my dad, Earl Strong, knew his way around the Thompson from both sides of the barrel.
I appreciate your sense of history and its importance, Tejano. Something else we have in common.
I wasn't aware we had anything in common.
You'll hear about last night's train car robbery in Fort Stockton.
There's also the matter of those three men found dead inside the empty car, not to mention a murdered train crew and two men identified from their photos as ex-Mexican Special Forces. They were killed without even getting to their guns. I'd say they faced formidable opposition.
Luna Diaz Delgado wasn't exactly a young woman, though Jim found himself fixated on her beauty. Like most in Texas law enforcement, he'd heard all the stories about her. How Luna Diaz had been one of the few survivors of a massacre, laid at the feet of rival drug cartels that had taken the lives of her parents. Luna ended up being raised by working-class relatives of her mother. By her mid-teens, she was waitressing at a Mexican bar frequented by cartel honchos, which included one Hector Delgado. One night, while Delgado sat at his usual back corner table, Luna overheard a pair of men she'd already figured for gunmen, talking about making their move. So she kept her eyes on the two men until she spotted the sawed-off shotguns beneath the bulky coats they'd yet to shed. Luna's intention had been to warn Delgado, but that plan went bust when the two would-be assassins started to go for their sawed-offs. The only thing Luna had time to do was grab the heavy top-shelf tequila bottle she'd pulled from the bar in case she needed it. The men were shoving their chairs aside when she slammed the bottle over the nearest man's head, then jammed the jagged remainder of the bottle she still held into the second man's throat. A blood spurt erupted, showering her and pretty much everyone else within 10 feet of its spray. Hector Delgado didn't just thank Luna for saving his life. He married her at the tender age of 17. That was 1980, and Luna Diaz Delgado didn't look any less beautiful 14 years later at 31. She'd seamlessly taken over her husband's criminal enterprise after he was assassinated 2 years before, and according to what Mexican authorities knew but couldn't prove, she had proceeded to kill all three other cartel leaders possibly complicit in Hector's murder, just to cover all her bases.
The missing cargo is none of your concern, Tejano.
I'm gonna guess that cargo belongs to you.
This is no concern of yours.
Jim Strong took off his Stetson and held it by his hip.
Well, ma'am, there is the matter of the train crew. Their murders are surely of concern to their families, all based in Texas, which does in fact make it my concern.
Neither Jim nor Luna had moved to close the gap between them. Their positions remained frozen, two predators sizing each other up and opting not to chance a fight that would likely lead to both their deaths.
I've said what I came here to say, ma'am. Learning more about that cargo headed here would help me bring a killer to justice. A killer who's hurt people on both sides of the border. I mistakenly believe you might want to help me catch a killer so I could get you your cargo back.
I'm sorry you misjudged the situation, Tejano. But leaving this case alone is for your own good. Yours and your daughter, Caitlin's. 14 years old now. Have I got that right?
Let's leave family out of this, ma'am. Notice I haven't mentioned your sons, all three of them in school under false identities back in Texas for safekeeping. If you like, I can check in on them from time to time, just to make sure they're okay.
You came into my world today, Tejano. You don't want me coming into yours.
The threat should have gotten a rise out of Jim, should have angered if not enraged him, but Jim was too busy staring at her to be either frightened or intimidated. He felt hypnotized by her looks and guile.
I believe Ranger Tepper and I will be going.
That would be for the best, Ranger, believe me.
What is?
For both of us.
Care to explain yourself, Senora?
I don't want to keep you any longer. It's a long drive home, after all.
Ranger Tepper and me are going to make our way out now, ma'am. We'll keep our hands in view, and in return, I expect you'll order your men to do the same and not raise those Thompsons again.
They heard you, Tejano. My men all speak very good English.
I'll keep you informed on our progress recovering your cargo that cost 10 men their lives, Senora.
Trust me, Tejano. That's only the beginning if we don't get it back.